Welcome to the 241st episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Ben Adams, author of the novel The Enigmatologist. And just one note about this interview, it was originally recorded several years ago. For a variety of reasons, I'm just releasing it now, but I did want to make that note in terms of the timing of the interview. Stay tuned for my interview with Ben Adams, author of The Enigmatologist. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Ben Adams, author of the novel The Enigmatologist. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Well, can you read two or three pages from your debut novel, The Enigmatologist?
Yeah, of course. This is basically from chapter two. The first chapter, just to fill in the blanks, the first chapter, our protagonist, John, is hired by the National Enquirer to investigate an Elvis sighting. And this chapter starts with him at home, just kind of reflecting and doing a little bit of research. That night, John sat at the kitchen table in his apartment, sipping a PBR Tallboy, looking at the Elvis picture. He had reprinted it several times and uploaded it to his phone. Something wasn't right about the picture. Something that struck John as odd, bothered him, made him feel uneasy. Whoever had taken it didn't know how to use a camera and hadn't focused the lens, leaving the image blurred, just an impression of the moment. And John's eyes glazed over, trying to make out the details, the big hair, a bloated belly. He couldn't tell if it really was Elvis or just some guy with the misfortune of having a pompadour. But through the haze of magnification and an unfocused lens, a man stood on a deck, his legs shoulder-width apart, one arm in the air, slightly blurred in captured motion. Is he waving? John spent the next several hours researching Elvis conspiracies. As expected, the internet proved to be a reliable resource for contradictory and unbelievable information. There were conspiracy theories connecting Elvis to organized crime, Richard Nixon, the DEA, theories about extraterrestrials being present at Elvis's birth, Elvis helping Michael Jackson fake his death, Elvis and Michael Jackson living in Ecuador with new identities courtesy of the Illuminati. Having studied puzzles, their logical design and rules, John saw the loose connections forming these beliefs. He also recognized the places where those connections frayed and split from reality. The National Enquirer had a reputation for attracting believers of all ilk, people who accepted modern myths like boy bands praying to the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot having a Dallas Cowboys-themed man cave, or Elvis being alive. John flipped the photo several times, deciding not to get caught in someone's fantasy.
Great. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about The Enigmatologist yet, how would you describe your novel?
I would describe it as a fun, quirky detective story that veers towards science fiction as well.
And do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing The Enigmatologist?
Yeah. So I was having this conversation several years ago about how when I was younger, I remember seeing at the newsstand at the grocery store, the National Enquirer, Weekly World News, all those magazines, and how their covers were dominated by stories about Elvis sightings or the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or just general urban myths. And nowadays, it's all celebrity gossip. And I was just thinking that it's really kind of a shame that a lot of these myths are no longer getting perpetuated in the grocery stores anymore. And I started thinking about, well, how would they verify these? I mean, obviously, it's pure entertainment, and all the stories are that they were publishing are fictional. But, you know, just my writer's mind started thinking, well, who is the person that would have to verify these stories? Like, what type of mentality goes into into investigating these. And I just started writing a short story about it, about a guy who was hired by the National Enquirer to investigate an Elvis sighting. And then I was encouraged to turn that into a book.
Great. Well, as I mentioned, The Enigmatologist is your first novel. What was your writing journey like before you wrote this novel? Have you always wanted to write fiction? And did you start out with short stories?
My journey is a little bit interesting. I was a professional musician for a long time. When I graduated high school, I could have studied music or I could have studied creative writing, and I chose music instead because of that instant gratification you get when you're performing in front of an audience. Writing's a little bit different in that you can spend, especially with a novel, you can spend years before you know what the audience reaction is going to be. About 2008, I got really burnt out on music and decided to take a break from it. But, I was kind of listless and really irritated during that time. And I realized it's because I didn't have a creative outlet. So I started writing again. And I started with short stories. And since then, it's been, I think it's been like a year writing a bunch of really, really terrible short stories. I took some writing classes, in the Bay Area. And yeah, but since then, it's been mostly novels, a couple of short stories here and there. Mostly novels.
Sure. Well, The Enigmatologist involves conspiracy theories, as you mentioned. Have you always been interested in conspiracy theories?
I'm more interested in what makes people believe in conspiracy theories. What makes people like in the passage that I just read, connect loose threads that really shouldn't be connected. it's more a fascination with what would cause someone to believe in something that is purely speculative, something that is not based in fact at all. And so I used the book as a way to kind of explore that a little bit, as well as satirize it too.
Sure. So were there any favorite conspiracy theories that you wanted to include but didn't fit for the novel?
That's a good one. There's so many. There's a lot of monster myths that I think are great. I think the New Jersey Devil is one. And then there's the Minnesota Batman, who's like this flying bat that lives under a bridge. But if you look at pictures of it, it's really just a trash bag that got caught in the wind. stuff like that. Yeah. I kind of wish I would have been able to include, but it didn't really work with the world that was being built as I wrote the book.
Sure. So did you do a lot of research about Elvis theories?
Yeah. Yeah. I did a lot of research about Elvis, a lot of research about, how to build puzzles. The Elvis theories are really fascinating. I mean, there actually is a theory that, or he actually believed that, aliens were present at his death, not at his death, sorry, at his birth. while his mom was giving birth to him, a UFO buzzed, wherever it was that he was being born.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for aspiring writers who might be listening and are interested in writing their own novels or short stories, just based on your own experience?
Have people read it at various steps along the way. It's always great to have beta readers who will give you honest feedback. Write every day. I try to approach it as a job a really, really fun job and sometimes a really difficult job. But if you have that blue-collar work mentality, you know, you'll make a lot of progress. And also just to be patient. Novels take a long time to write. They take a long time to get right. You know, I think I worked on my book for 5 years. There was the novel The Goldfinch that won the Pulitzer Prize a couple of years ago. That author, she took 10 years to write that book. So, I mean, it's not something that happens overnight. You know, when I first started writing this book, I thought, yeah, 1 year I'll be done and it'll be a New York Times bestseller. And after about a year, I realized, oh man, what was I thinking? This is going to take way longer.
Great. Well, earlier you mentioned this period when you first started going back to writing, and you said you spent a year writing bad short stories. So looking back on that and reflecting, what was bad about them?
I didn't know what I was doing. And again, it was being impatient. You know, I thought that I could just sit down and just crank something out. And most of them had absolutely no plot, the characters were really flat. The dialogue was just awful. Yeah. And it's just, something that I think every writer goes through. You know, you realize that there's a certain craft that comes with writing. There are certain principles that you have to master.
What was your process to get better and improve on those areas? How did you do it?
I took a lot of classes, and I read a lot, and I still read a lot. You know, every writer reads. A lot of study. You know, still. You know, I'll be reading a book and I'll think, oh, well, how did E.L. Doctorow do this? How did Ray Bradbury handle this scene? How does Don DeLillo deal with his dialogue? You know, when I read, you know, guys like that or other writers, I'll sit there and I'll dissect their work. Yeah, right now, I'm really into Daniel Woodrell, who wrote Winter's Bone, and a bunch of other great books. And I'll just sit there and I'll copy out his sentences and dissect them and figure out how he constructs them.
So when you sit down to write, are there ever days that you need to do something to jumpstart the writing process for yourself?
Yeah, pretty much every day. it takes a while. It probably takes me about like half an hour to really get the creative juices flowing. Sometimes it'll vary day to day what I'll do to get that going. Sometimes I'll just dive right in to what I'm working on. I'll reread what I had written the day before and edit that and rewrite that stuff. Some days I'll start with a short story that I might be working on. And just try to use that as a springboard for the novel when I eventually get to that during the day.
Sure. So are there books and authors that inspire your own writing?
Yeah. Daniel Woodrell, who I just mentioned. Don DeLillo is a huge, huge influence. I love his work. Ray Bradbury has always been a big influence on me. Cormac McCarthy. There was a period where I was just like early, maybe about like 4 years ago, I think I was just reading Cormac McCarthy's books. Who else? For humor, Christopher Moore. I think he's really great. George Saunders. Yeah, guys like that.
Gotcha. So are you working on another novel now?
Yeah, I'm working on the follow-up book. The Enigmatologist is planned as a trilogy, and I'm working on the second book right now. I've been working on it off and on for about the past year, and it'll probably take another 5 years to get it to where it's readable.
So where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you or your novel?
BenAdams.net is my website, and there's links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, links to Amazon where you can read samples of the book. Yeah.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Ben Adams, author of The Enigmatologist. The book is available as an ebook on all the major ebook stores, Amazon, Nook, Apple iBooks, and Kobo. And Ben, thanks for doing this interview.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.